Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Monday, March the 16th, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Well, maybe Michael's not with us. So while we're waiting, then this show is based on the principles of the Aramaic and, in particular, forgiveness. In their culture, we're taught that forgiveness is letting another person off the hook because they brought something up within us, anger, fear, sadness, grief. Or even if we say someone made me happy, that's also a topic for a worksheet. Because nothing outside of us can make us anything. And so we look at that perspective, and we have tools for how to remove what doesn't belong in you. And if you go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org, and click on the bullseye in the middle of the page, and it will take you to chapter 24 of Michael's book. There is also all of our worksheets, and there is a link to MP3s of these radio shows where we have walked somebody step by step through the forgiveness process. There's all kinds of tools. There's all kinds of information, videos, audios, and our book is out there in English, German, Russian, Spanish, Farsi, and Thai. And it's beginning to get into Portuguese. We also have it in Swedish, but not online for free download. And I see Michael has rejoined us now. So welcome, Michael. I've kind of done an introduction of what this work is about.
Great. We're starting to work on an Arabic translation, too. So that'll soon be coming up online. I'm hoping to have the worksheet done first in Arabic. And so we've got a gentleman from Palestine that's working on the tools. He started to do worksheets, and he's an attorney, and he's just jumped in with his support to bring a shift to the energy happening in the Middle East. So that's pretty cool. Jeannie, I think you should start out with a report on your weekend. Everybody I talked to was just so excited about what you did Friday and Saturday with 45 women. You want to share a little bit about it?
Well, it was a very powerful weekend, I think, for everybody. It was for me. As I always start out the women's intensives, I told them that, you know, we teach best what we most need to learn, and that they were actually there for my next learning. And it was pretty phenomenal, I think, in my opinion, and I got really good feedback. I'm getting ready to send a questionnaire out to them for their feedback. But, yeah, that was 45 women, and we began with dinner on Friday evening, and then we got together at 6:30, or 7 o'clock, rather, for the first class. And that went to about 9:30, 9:45, and it was kind of funny because I had laid out, this is what I'm going to cover on Friday and this is what I'm going to cover on Saturday. I did a total of like 9.5 hours in just the day and a half that we were there. And it was pretty powerful because as I was going through the notes and I got about 15 minutes into the workshop and I just stopped and looked at them and I said, it's like all of these questions and all of these voices in my head and it's asking doesn't go along with my notes. So I'm just going to take a deep breath and let go of my notes. And so it just kind of took on its own path and I hit several topics and opened the space for looking at, you know, I started out and asked them, Annie, you know, I know you're here for 27-hour reprieve from your normal life, and some of you are probably just hoping to lay by the pool or something. I said, that's not my intent. And I said, I would like to encourage you to be in every class, and I will start and stop promptly on time, and I would like for you all to be in attendance promptly. And encouraged them to stay because I had heard, you know, that sometimes they would disappear on Saturday afternoon because then they knew it was just like a afternoon free time and the labyrinth and yoga and then one more closure session after dinner, and that some people took an opportunity just to geek out at about 3 o'clock. And so I encouraged them to stay all the way to the end, that I had a powerful closure that I thought that they would enjoy. And out of the 45, I think I had 39, so there wasn't very many of them left. So I was real pleased with that. And anyway, I asked them how many were there that would like to heal some area of their life, and about everybody raised their hand. And I said, oh, you think so? I said, okay, well, let's see if you do. And so we went through, we have a worksheet out on the website that's called Three Early Memories. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, they go through and they'll list three of the earliest memories of conflict. And then there are questions in between that they answer in regards to each of those three memories. And it's, you know, life is tough and people are mean, relationships are impossible, those kind of questions in between. And you get them to look at, once they finish, to go back and look at each of the blanks that they filled in, and they'll see a similarity between them. But then there's another worksheet that we only use during intensives. We don't use them in our regular travel workshops, and that's How My Healing's Going to Look. And you take all of those answers and you fill in the blanks of this other paragraph, and the way that it comes out is, when I'm empowered enough to heal, life is going to appear mean and hard and cruel, and people are impossible and unfair, and life is challenging, and these kind of things. And everybody's like, what? That's what healing will look like? And so then I went on to explain that, you know, when energy goes in, it has to come back out. And that it's not always fun, but it is a process, and you've got to face it either willingly or it kicks you in the butt all the time anyway. And then I had intended a couple other things, and we ran out of time, and then my computer decided I was going to play a song called This I Promise You and do sign language to it. And my computer decided it wanted to blank out and not come back on. So it's like, okay, somebody else has it, is in charge of tonight. And so I let it go and said, you know, we'll do it in the morning. And I went on back to my room to, you know, start saying, okay, now let me go through my notes and look, because I just totally disregarded what I was going to cover on Friday night. So I needed to make sure that I was going to cover everything I intended on Saturday. And I could hear all the other ladies. They were at the pool and the hot tub. And somebody told me the next morning that it was like a bunch of college girls on spring break or something. And so anyway, then on Saturday, we got back together. And I used little props through the whole thing. And, you know, I had springs to emphasize. I gave everybody a spring to emphasize that, you know, if you push it down and then you let it go, what happened? And they got to see that. And then we started out Saturday morning with the song that I had intended to end the night with. And then I taught them how to do love exchange, and we talked about the commitment. So I gave them those tools. And I had, when they came back in, I had put a mask, like a Mardi Gras mask, in front of everybody's chair. And so I asked them to put it on. And then it was like, okay, now look around the room. You know, you're not seeing all of anybody. And I said, that's the way we are. It's just, we put a mask on, and we try to hide behind it, and the real person oftentimes is never seen. And so we kind of used that as an example, went through talking about how the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual was all connected, talked about word links, and I brought in, you know, Karen Carpenter, and then we talked about the fight, flight, and freeze, and how the body responds to different things that have impacted our environment or our life, whether it's abuse or rape or, you know, whatever, and what happens chemically in your body. And I had some PowerPoint presentations I had created, so I went through those. And then we ended up down to about 20 minutes after some questions and different things, and I had intended to do the worksheet that morning. So what I did, since I only had 20 minutes, was I gave them all the full 7-step worksheet and told them, you know, if we had time in the next session, we would be going over it. However, I used Magda. So Magda, if you're online, thank you very much. I used her short form that she had come up and so handed it out. And so I was able to go through that and get them to see. And there was one question that Magda has on hers, and it's after the goal, what do I want? And then it's got a little statement that says, so I can. And that really brought up a lot of interest in the women, you know, okay, I want this goal from them, but I want it from them so I can. What? You know, because it's always, the goal is really about us. It's not about the person that we're talking about in the worksheet. And then I had some other props. We did an exercise about the still small voice and the weight of a glass of water and a jump rope. And, you know, I use all these things. And I told them, I said, so anytime that you see a spring or a string or a mask or a jump rope or whatever, I hope you remember some of the principles and some of the points that we brought out during the weekend. And then we took intermission for lunch, and we came back together and we talked about stress and being aware of it and how it's connected to goals and the function of the mind. And I used some chopsticks, and that was a pretty cool little exercise. And then we were ending it with doing the purpose, personal power, and commitment worksheet. And going through that, and I had them do the, you know, 10 things that they have a talent for and 10 things they like to do and how they see the perfect world. And then had them put it together, and a couple of them shared what they came up with in their statement, which was really good. And then we talked about that a little bit further, and I was talking about the alignment that, you know, if you knew, you know, everybody had the same primary purpose to develop a viable spiritual body, and then we all had different secondary purposes, and that's what that worksheet walked us through. And then how we, and once we knew our purpose, then we would align our goals and our behaviors, our thoughts, our words, everything, to see that everything supported our purpose to move it forward. And talked about the intent and different things. And then I brought up the subject of, you know, if you didn't know your purpose, it was like running a race and not knowing where the finish line was, that you would never know if you got there. And you'd just be running and running and running, and you'd never know if you finished the race. And I said, if you don't know your purpose, you know, why you're here on this planet, I said, you may be going around doing all kinds of things, and most of them may be good things. You know, a lot of people are very busy, and they volunteer for this, that, and they're doing constantly. I said, but if all of your doing doesn't support your purpose while you're here, it's like running that race. And then they asked for an example, you know, and so I gave an example of my son and how I had worked with him when I was back in Bristol last time and got him to do the purpose worksheet. And I said, you know, if you could do anything, you know, whatever you wanted to do, what would it be that you would want to do that would follow this purpose? And, you know, he came back with, oh, well, I'd have to go back to school, or, you know, it would take, you know, this much training, or it would cost this much money. And I said, no, no, no. I said, take out all the stipulations. I said, that'll come later. I said, but if you could just, bam, be doing what you wanted to do, what would it be? And he said, I don't know. And so when I was bringing up that topic, you know, and it's like, okay, you need to know where you want to go, or you'll just be going through life and you'll never know if you're really doing your purpose. And I was sharing that story, and I got a little emotional, and one of the ladies said, you know, I think you need to do a worksheet on that. And so it was that really brought up a highlight of the whole weekend, because up until that point, I had just been the teacher and everything was running super smooth. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm standing in front of the class and being emotional and crying and all this. And most of them came up afterwards and said they were really thankful that I was authentic enough to do that worksheet in front of them. And what I got to in doing the worksheet was, you know, at first it was like, okay, what do you feel? And it was a mixture of emotions, but the biggest one was fear and sadness. And I explained to them how that's two different worksheets and it comes up with two different solutions. And then it was like, well, what's the thought behind the feeling? And that took a few minutes to really locate it. And it was that I thought that he was lost. And so then I kind of, when I said that, I was a little bit emotional again and had to just stand there and breathe for a few minutes. And a couple of ladies, you know, kind of jumped in and it was like, oh, he's just 27. He's going to be okay. And he's just, you know, trying to find himself. And this is typical and all this. And I was like, you know, I thank you for the support in that. And I want you to know that I know that. I really do. And I said, what we're doing right now has nothing to do with Ryan. I said, it has everything to do with me and what I'm feeling. And it doesn't have anything to do with Ryan. And then we'd go a little bit further and they'd jump in again, you know, something about, you know, oh, he's, you know, this. And I'm like, it's not about him. I said, this is a perfect example of how you can divert yourself to do another worksheet instead of the worksheet that you're working on so that you don't have to look at it. And I said, this is about
trying to do problem solving instead of healing.
Right. And another lady, you know, she said, quit trying to rescue her. And then that created this thing between the ladies, you know. Then she stood up, the first lady, and she's like, we're here to be a community and support each other, and I'm just supporting her. Don't tell me to not rescue her. You know. And it's like, okay, cool it. You know, here, I said, take a breath. I said, whatever's coming up for you right now, frustration, anger, or whatever, I said, that's your next worksheet. And so there was a little bit of a distraction, you know, but that in a way that was kind of good because it gave me an opportunity to collect myself because I'm still up there in the teacher mode, you know, but yet here I am also in the student mode. And so it did give me a moment to say, okay, you know, and kind of diffuse them. And then we got back to it. And then I got to that line that Magda has in that worksheet of, so what do I want from him? And I said, you know, there was a lot of things. I said, I want him to have it easier than I had it. I want him to find his purpose. You know, I didn't find mine till I was, you know, 50. And I said, I want him to find his now and be on purpose, you know, instead of spending so much time and energy off purpose. And I wanted him to feel fulfilled. And I wanted, you know, and all this. And they're like, okay, so you want all of this from him so you can what? One of the ladies in the audience asked that to me. And I was like, so I can... And I was like at this total blank, and I said, I'm unconscious. And so then they all started, you know, feeling in, saying, well, if it was me and it was my son, I would want it so that I could mind my own business instead of being in his. And another one popped up and said, well, it would be, for me, it would be because I would want to be at peace. And so it was really cool, all of this feedback from these ladies of what, if that worksheet was about them, why they would want that goal for their child, what it would do for them. So, Magda, that is an awesome addition to that worksheet because it really brought in a lot of conversation in the women's workshop, and they were all feeding back, you know, what it would be for them. And so, and also the being the perfect mother and doing it right and, you know, not feeling guilty because, you know, he was, you know, not knowing where he was going and taking on blame. So it brought up a lot of things. And I said, thank you all very much for all the worksheets I get to do when this is over. and so then we went on down through the worksheet, and what I got to at the end was that I felt lost. Whereas at the beginning I had said that I thought my thought behind the feeling was that he was lost. And so it was a super powerful worksheet and a great process for me and the whole group. And so we actually got to do that worksheet twice, and then, you know, we did a few question and answers, and then our time was up. I mean, it was like we covered so much material in such a short time, and the energy was so high, And, you know, then we had a guided labyrinth tour and some people did yoga. And then we just had about an hour of quiet time. Then we had dinner. And then I finished it up with the angel wash, which was really powerful. And I felt, you know, I even heard some of the ladies say that they felt like it really knitted the group together because that they were, and for those who don't know an angel wash, you form two lines. One person at a time goes through the line, and everybody says something uplifting and positive, like, you know, thank you for your smile, or you're beautiful, or I love your sparkle, or you're such a light, or if they knew them personally, it might be, you've been such support for me, and different things like that. So they walk down through this line, and like I said, there were 38, 39 of them stayed. And so, you know, one person's going through and hearing 38 other people give them just this awesome, affirmative, uplifting encouragement. And some of them were crying. They were hugging each other. And this one person said, you know, I didn't even know half of you, and I felt so close to you when you were talking to me. And, you know, it was just a really nice way to end the evening. And so anyway, and then we all dispersed and went back home. And I've heard from several. Some showed up at our workshop yesterday in Miami. And a couple have already called me wanting personal one-on-one sessions. And another church is already asking me if I'll do their four-day women's retreat. So it's just like an explosion. Today I'm actually kind of down. And I don't know if I'm just integrating everything, but it's just like, I don't know. But it was definitely high energy all Friday and Saturday. And if any of you ladies are listening, thank you.
You remember, honey, you've heard me talk about that major healing crisis that I went through after a conference I did in Miami back 25 years ago. And the energy got so high, what happens? I go into process. With 45 women, that's a lot of energy to process and move. And getting into that high state, of course your body's going to go into emotional release. It's going to, you know, hitting that new level of vitality, you're going to move stuff. So that, and that's awesome. That's just right on track. Fabulous piece of work. Fabulous piece of work. Well, one of the things that that comes to mind, and is Magda on the line, do you know, Tini?
I think this is her. 417, is this Magda?
This is Magda, hi.
Hey, lady.
Hi there, young lady. How are you?
Short form.
I'm doing so well. Gosh, Jeannie, man, it was so nice to that you went through the whole procedure. I felt like I was there again with you. And those lucky ladies, God bless them and you, wow. And so I'm really, really glad that that form was helpful. And I called in because I wanted to give credit to where that peace came from. So I can, that is something David Hayes told me when we were staying at Heartland for 6 months on the support staff, and David plugged that piece in, and I started to use it. Sometimes I used it, sometimes I didn't, with the long form. And I began to realize that when I added that part, it really took me so much deeper. As you noticed, it brought up all
of it. It brings it back home.
Yeah, I know.
It brings it back.
Yeah, so it has often just been so helpful to either direct me to my next worksheet or to take me deeper into the worksheet I was doing. So that's David Hayes, and I'm not sure if I paraphrased it correctly, but that's where the idea came from. And you're right, it's what is the motivation under the goal that I have for this other person, or even, you know, for myself if I'm doing a worksheet on myself. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you.
Oh, and I've been doing, you know, Julie from Ashland, Oregon called in a couple weeks ago, and she was looking for folks to do worksheets with. So we've been doing some worksheets together, and we've used the short form We now call it the fast form because it is faster. It's not really shorter. You notice there are 9 steps in it.
Right.
Yeah. And I was explaining to her that my motivation for putting that together was twofold. And one is to be an introduction to new people who can easily do a report getting visually overwhelmed by the amount of information that, Michael, that you have on your worksheet. And I totally understand why you have all of that information. It's like an encapsulated form of your Why Is This Happening to Me Again class. And I know why you do that, and I think it's great. I think that is a good one to have side by side when introducing someone who says, I just can't handle that. Okay, well, let's use this simplified form here and then relate back to the definitions and the explanations that you have in the long form if it's needed. But I see that as being done under the guidance of someone who can walk a person through and teach them the concepts. I wouldn't think that that would be a good form, a short form, to use just to hand somebody and say, oh, yeah, go at it, because we wouldn't know why, you know, they're doing the canceling of the goal and so forth. So that's one way to use it, and that's what you did in your class with the ladies. And then the other way that I thought being useful is for someone who really has been doing the forgiveness worksheet using Michael's form and has incorporated the concepts because we have read each and every word every time and we have retooled information in our brains about it. And sometimes you just don't have time to do the longer version. So I thought, well, this would be a good one to pull out when you just have a short amount of time and you want to go through and do the whole process. So those are the two ways I see it being used.
Yeah, I originally intended to do the long one, and it was just like, you know, everything else was, I mean, it seriously, it was like my itinerary got taken out of my hand and shuffled. And
I understand that. I know how many times my lesson plans have gone right by the side. And you know, that's a great choice. Just being where the ladies were, that's absolutely, I think, the best choice in the world to stay with them.
Awesome. Well, just on the idea, you know, we're calling it the fast form or the short form. And in fact, what you're doing, and one of the reasons why it takes it to another level, is you're actually doing two worksheets in one. You'll notice that. And remember, we've talked so often about why it's urgent to get your goal as precise as possible, to clean out that part of your mind related to the goal. And so if I'm doing a worksheet on Bill, and I want Bill to do this, here's my goal for Bill, so that I can do this, there's my goal for me. I'm actually identifying two goals.
Yes.
And even if I don't cancel the second goal, the implied thing is that I'm letting go of that, and that's going to, I'm really, again, I'm doing two worksheets in one. I'm doing a worksheet on whoever my external object of attention is, and I'm doing a worksheet on my goal in this circumstance. You know, the so I can is another way to phrase a goal. And so you're really doing two worksheets in one. It's like, you know, you're presuming the Hydra and going for it.
Well, we know there are always Hydras.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but yes, that's right. Yeah,
that's exactly, you know, it's just, you're really keying into both goals. And that's powerful.
Billy and I, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, that's a powerful way to do it.
Yeah, it is. It's I think that almost as powerful as the part in your longer form, which says, when have I not done what I'm asking this other person to do? When have I not fulfilled this? You know, that is another one that takes you into a deeper dimension and more insight as to what's what's going on. And that's in the mirror, you know, looking at that other person as our mirror. But it's, you know, they're really heavy-duty questions. And Julie and I have, when we've been working, we've been putting our heads together about how something might be phrased a little bit more powerfully and so forth. So I've made a few changes to that form, and I want to work with a little more, and Julie and I can work with it a little more, and then perhaps send that on to you and see if you what you think about it.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun. So,
we appreciate having you on the team.
And I appreciate having this team to be part of. And Jeannie, I just congratulate you up and down and around and in and out. You are a fabulous teacher, and I think those ladies were so blessed to be with you. I remember last year going through your short class, and it was magnificent. So congratulations, girl.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
She's scheduled an 8-day at Heartland this summer.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. So awesome. So, well, that's all I have to add, and I'll just listen to the rest of the show. I'll go put myself on mute and enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you so much, Michael and Jeannie and everybody, for being there and having this wonderful team to be part of. It's great.
Thank you for being part of it.
Yeah.
It really is wonderful. And, you know, there's been so many pieces and refinements that with the integrity of the work you're doing in your world for yourself and then coming back out with feedback. I know that the piece of feedback on changing step 5A and the canceling piece and refreshing the mind with the active presence of love before doing that, that to me, when I do a worksheet now, that adds another whole dimension to it. So it's awesome to have your input. We appreciate you a lot.
Thank you so much. Wow. Oh, I think you just made me, I'm going to do this on purpose, you made me feel really good.
Right.
That is my ego talking. yeah, it is, it's wonderful to be able to be part of the process that is ever-growing and, you know, just presenting more opportunities for healing for ourselves and for everybody else, so... Thank you for fostering this.
Yeah, we're delighted. We're so blessed for everybody that we have on the team. It's just, it's amazing.
Indeed.
It's amazing.
Okay, I'm going to mute. Blessings to both of you. Love you both.
All right. Take care, blessings. Give Chuck a hug for us.
I
will.
I'm here and just loving listening to what you did over the weekend. And I'm also curious about if we've heard any word from Michelle, who was on the show and talking about she was going to have a big weekend. So, have you heard
from
her?
Michelle, are you with us?
I have not heard from Michelle. Let me look and see if I can find her number on the switchboard here. I do appreciate her filling in for me on Friday. That was awesome that I could, and for you to fill in for Michael. he thought that he'd be free to do the show, but I got him sidetracked helping me set up the conference room. So, Michelle, how are you doing, girl?
Are you with us, Michelle?
I've got her turned on, but maybe she's away from her phone.
Earth to Michelle. Well, we'll give Michelle a second to come back to her phone. She's probably in her office or what have you. But I'll share a little piece that we got to experience last night. It was kind of interesting. You know, we talk a lot about movies and some of the reflections of the culture. And last night was Margaret's birthday, Margaret and Michael. And, of course, we've been spending a fair bit of time with them. They've been coming to the workshops and such. And so we went to her birthday party last night, and she wanted to go and see, part of her birthday celebration, wanted to go and see the movie Cinderella. So after her birthday dinner and awesome cake, we went to see Cinderella. And I don't know, maybe Disney's getting the message that their heroines don't have to be killers. The last two or three movies that I've done that have come out of Disney, Alice in Wonderland, oh, you know, she goes down the rabbit hole and says, well, you're here to kill somebody. And she says, I don't kill. And they say, tell her, what's wrong with you? There was no message to the heroine of this movie that she should kill anybody. In fact, there were no messages about killing at all in the movie, which is like, gee, Disney, maybe you're giving up your role as the seducer into violence, which you've done so much in the world. But the message, you know, there's still the, you know, the prince rescues the victimized woman game, which is, I think, a piece of healing that needs to be done in the culture. But it was so powerful to see how they portrayed the relationship of her name was Ella. I never realized this before from Cinderella, but her name was Ella, and because she was, you know, tending the fire of the cinders, she became Cinderella. That was a new piece of insight for me. But her mother, before she passes away, is just holds such a space for her. And as she's getting ready to pass, she gives her just such a powerful message. Instead of these messages of violence, she says to her daughter, she tells her how kind she is and tells her that whatever trials and tribulations, whatever challenges life brings to her, that if she'll just remember to have courage and be kind, that it will handle everything. And while the prince does come along and rescue her, so to speak, Cinderella stays with her kindness and creates a way to produce the result of cleaning up, or, you know, working through the traumatic circumstance. So, you know, perhaps not so much about the prince, but really the message that Cinderella stood with all the abuse that she took, stood as a space of love and kept reaching forward with that kindness that her mother had reinforced in her, kindness. And she came forward with kindness in response to, you know, just the general nastiness of the sisters and the mother. And out of that space, she creates a way to change her whole circumstance. And I think it was a very powerful message for all of us. And it would be nice to see more of that coming out of Disney, that it's really about the, you know, the fact that we are human beings. We are this awesome active space of love. And that when we stick to that, that's where our real power and our real safety lies. So it's kind of a sweet film, and, you know, one you can feel comfortable taking the kids to. There's a pretty powerful message in it. So that was fun. So let's see if Michelle has rejoined us yet. Michelle, are you there, young lady?
She actually said she's driving back to her office, and she will definitely call in tomorrow. So she sent me a text message letting me know that. But we do have two callers.
Fabulous. Well, let's just see if Dr. Tim's got any more to share about Friday's show, and then we'll check in with our callers.
Well, I think we should just hold off and wait till Michelle wants to share what she wants to share. I think we had a good show with a question or two, and as usual, I'm all for the callers. Let's hear what people have on their minds today.
Let's go for it.
Okay, the first one's area code 352. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
352, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from? I think that's Florida, 352, up in Central Florida. Not sure. Well, we're getting people distracted on their phones today. 352, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, this is Kevin Couture, 352 in Tampa, Florida.
Hey!
Hey, well, hi there, young man. It's good to hear your voice. We didn't get to see you when we were over there.
I was glad
to hear from you. What's exciting
you.
In your world?
Oh, I'm at the highest point in my life, Michael, of this 48 plus or minus a couple days of my years here on Earth. Things are going great personally for me, although there's some worlds crumbling around me. It's going very well for me, and I'm happy to have known you and Jeannie for the years that I have and experienced the times that we've had together.
Well, you know, it's kind of right along the lines of the message that I just shared from Cinderella. You know, I've watched you move through a lot of trauma and stay with that kindness and bringing forward that presence of love. So, of course, the result would be that things are rocking well. That's awesome.
I have a question, though, about a mother, 87 years old with dementia, wanting to die. She's raised these kids. She feels like she's in a prison. She is in a prison. It's sitting between her ears. And holding a space of love, you kind of reminded me of what I need to do. I kind of got, okay, refreshed really quick in that little synopsis of Cinderella. What's happening to the mind in a dementia state?
Well, you know, of course, I don't know your mom. There's so many things that that can be factors in something like that. In many cases, a lifetime of, there are things going on in my life that I don't want to look at. You know, again, you know, some of the things a couple of years ago that you were going through where the average bear would have just raised up on their hind paws and raged and, you know, struck out at somebody. You chose to do your work and you chose to look at those things, process those things. You had a huge amount of patience and worked through them. Are we talking about your mom?
Yes.
Okay. So I suspect that you probably changed the family pattern and perhaps what genetically came to you from mom was that, you know, tendency to want to strike out or not look, not deal with it, which you did so courageously. And, you know, if that's the case, then I think a lot of dementia is just, I'm checking out of here. I don't want to deal with this. Just can't deal with it. And if one spends many, many, many years in that state of denial, talking about how somebody else is the cause of their pain, their turmoil, their trauma, instead of bringing it back to themselves, there comes a point where the mind says, okay, let's check out.
Yeah.
I think also if we live in that state, we don't want to deal with the energy that's going on, and so we have to devitalize ourselves, so we'll tend to be attracted to, you know, foods, drink and things that don't support full aliveness, and so reinforce, you know, things like if I junk out, if I eat a lot of animal foods, I'll tend to create a lining in my arteries. The arteries to the brain will tend to plug up a little bit, carotid artery and such, and so there's not enough blood flow to the brain. So I'll create physical circumstances that will reinforce my not wanting to look. And, of course, then there are, you know, circumstances of getting into toxins and poisons. And, you know, there are so many things that can be involved. And, you know, there was a preacher. I heard a story about a few years ago. This preacher was speaking at a conference, and he shared how he had been at the height of his career and was, you know, his church was getting ready to break through and explode into a mega church. And his wife came down with dementia, and he decided to retire, though he was at the peak of his career, from his ministry to take care of and spend time with his wife. And so many of his friends said, but this is the peak. How could you do that? She has dementia. She doesn't even know who you are. And his response was, yes, but I know who she is.
Yeah.
And even if your mom doesn't know the people around her or even herself, I think that the gift of being the space of knowing who she is, remembering who she is, and being that space of love is one of the most awesome things you can give her.
Yes, I certainly agree. Certainly.
And there are things that can be supportive. You know, there do some research. There's some nutritional things that can be supportive that can clean out the carotid artery. You know, if there are heavy metals or calcium deposits in the arteries and such, there are some methods for dealing with that. I know that some people on the show might remember a woman named Angie. Angie was a little old Italian lady that when I first moved to South Florida, I rented a room in her house, and she became involved in the work. And she had just come out of the hospital, and she had been an accountant, or was an accountant, and was pretty much quitting her profession because her mind wasn't working well. And they told her that unless she did chemotherapy, she would go blind and have a stroke. And she had a blood infection of unknown origin after having her in the hospital for several weeks. That's what they came up with and said, well, you've got to do this chemo or you're going to have a stroke and go blind. And instead, I introduced her to chelation therapy. And
what is it called?
She started to do chelation, C-H-E-L-A-T-I-O-N, chelation. It's a therapy where an artificially created amino acid that has an opening in it to grab onto things is inserted into the veins. And unfortunately, it's not very popular today because the patents have expired on the disodium EDTA. But I introduced Angie to that process, and she ended up doing, I think, about 50 chelation sessions. She went back to her practice. She never did have her stroke or go blind. In fact, she got to the point where, although for years she needed eyeglasses to read the phone book, she got to the point where she threw away her eyeglasses, and she lived for another 14 years as quite a healthy young lady. And she was, I believe, 84 when she finally passed. And so chelation might be something to look at. And basically, it comes just from the same word as chiropractor, which means hand. And in this disodium EVTA, which is done intravenously, there's an open molecule, or actually space in the atomic structure, that actually grabs onto things like excess calcium, heavy metals, and those sorts of things. And if part of the problem is the blockage of her carotid artery, going in chelation and pulling that stuff out can open the blood flow. And I've seen it produce just absolutely amazing, amazing results in people. It's not something, although that might be changing, because I understand that the NIH, National Institute of Health, just did recently a double-blind study. It's a cheap therapy compared to, you know, anything else that's going on, because the patents expired, and so there's no money in it. And so it was just kind of the medical profession was trying to push it aside. But NIH decided to fund the double-blind study and came up with some really awesome results. And so it's now kind of coming back into favor to some degree. So you might want to consult with and talk to somebody in that area. Generally speaking, it's not covered by insurance, although it's with this double-blind study from NIH, it may well be covered by insurance. And even so, it's not an expensive therapy. You know, you can go through a pretty deep series of chelation treatments for, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. And so that might be something to look into for her. And you might find you'll have your mother back.
You said you spelled C-H-E?
Yep. L-A-T-I-O-N. Chelation.
Chelation,
C-H-E. Sounds like a K, but it's a C-H.
If we were to get her back, I don't know if we would want to go back there, because she was in the Eastern philosophy and being reincarnated, and she left, she was raised as Catholic and that. So I don't know if we want her back that way, Michael. It's kind of weird, you know, to say something
like
that.
All I'm offering is that, you know, that she can, if she's going to be here for another 2 months or 6 months or 10 years, she can function as who she is, as opposed to functioning with that disability, perhaps, with something supportive like that. So there's also a supplement called choline chloride that can really help to perk the brain up and get the brain, you know, functioning.
Thank you so much, Mike. I do appreciate your information. And
I love hearing hearing your analogy there earlier and listening to the previous caller there. And thank you guys for all the work that you have let me listen to and learn as well along my path. And
awesome.
Support, love you too, and a whole space of love for you and Jeannie as well on your path.
All right, well,
so
we
much,
appreciate
Michael.
That support, and, you know, we're going to be in Orlando in April. We've got a 9-day intensive and a teacher's training, so, you know, if you're ready to do the next level of what you're about, then, you know, take a look at the schedule and maybe join us in Orlando. We're going to be
Michael.
Close to home.
Appreciate that.
All right, lots of love and blessings. Take care.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, blessings. Bye-bye. Awesome to watch how people can stand in their patience and, as Cinderella was told, their kindness, instead of what the world would counsel us to do. And, you know, you might remember some radio shows where Kevin called in and was really going through quite a bit of trauma, and it just stayed the course with, I'm going to keep coming forward with love, keep coming forward with love, and awesome to watch what can happen. Awesome. So you've got another caller, sweetie?
I do, and it's area code 607. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael and Jeannie, it's Richard. How you doing?
Welcome, young man. We're rocking along here. We're just about finished with our workshops. We've got two more workshops here in South Florida, in Miami at UTC. We'll be there tonight and tomorrow night doing communication. Did you hear what I think I said? Tonight at 6:30, and then tomorrow night we're doing codependence, and then we got a couple of days to pack up, and we're on the road to Sebring. So we're rocking along and not looking forward to packing the van after being in one place for 6 weeks, but it's part of being on the road, so we'll breathe and enjoy it and start heading north.
So
what's happening in your world?
Well, I have two things. First of all, a friend of mine yesterday who works with kids, you know, developmentally get over their developmental issues, gave me some stuff yesterday to try for the brain. It's called NOOPEP, N-O-O-P-E-P. So you might want to check out that as a potential. It's supposed to allow the brain to be very clear up the brain fog type stuff in the brain. So something that you might, that I was just on, or might want to check that out as well. But the other reason I was calling is because you've been talking about trauma, and I have two friends who I may be potentially working with, and one I'm working with already, who had been involved in car accidents, and basically, you know, the crash is what woke them up. You know, they were asleep when the crash happened, so they got woken up in the middle of a crash. So they've been very traumatized in the sense of, you know. And so I was wondering if a good thing for them might be where you write out the thing, what's that called, when you write out a phrase, it would be like, it's safe and healing for me to wake up.
Mind shifter?
Yeah, mind shifter.
Yeah.
Would that be
unfortunately, Richard, my phone cut out right as you were talking about the supplement. My phone shut my line down, so I had to reconnect. So I missed what you said there.
What I said was I have two friends that were both of them, one I may potentially be working with and the other one with I'm working right now, that both had been involved in a car accident. They were asleep when the car crashed, and so, you know, they got woken up by the crash. So very traumatic incidences.
Ouch.
So I'm wondering whether a good mind shifter for them would be, it's safe and healing for me to wake up.
If that's a challenge, if that's impacting them in a way that, you know, they're tending to sleep and stay in unconsciousness, that would probably be right on track, yes.
Well, I think it's more about unconsciousness, about what they're doing, you know, in relation to other people. Anyway, I just wondered, you know, whether that might be potentially a good mind shifter. Also, I was wondering whether somebody could give Rex my phone number and have him give me a call. I want to talk to him about something I want to do here this spring.
Okay. I will do that. I'll make sure to text your number to Rex and ask him to call you.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. So, we hold you in a blessing. Look forward to the next time we get face-to-face.
Okay. Have a good day.
Well, Michael's phone just cut off just about the time that Richard went off. So I'm not sure what that connection was. He was saying he was having a challenge there. So, Dr. Tim, perhaps you can address this. I have someone in the chat room that was wanting, we've only got about 2 minutes, but they were wanting to know, let me get back up and find it here.
Okay.
The connection between what kind of things do you recommend for someone on the autism spectrum? And I wrote back and said, well, I do know that there is some really strong evidence in some research that there's a correlation between autism and vaccines. Of course, there's a lot of controversy about that. So if that is the case, then a good detox would be a good start.
Yeah, there's actually, there's a friend of ours, Dr. Bruce Dooley, who's a medical doctor in Jupiter, Florida, who has a chelation center. I've known Bruce for about 30 years. And he has a product called, I believe it's NoMERC, M-E-R-C, that's for detoxing from mercury. And, you know, most vaccines have levels of mercury as a preservative that, you know, it's known to be one of the most deadly brain toxins on the planet in micro amounts, just very small doses. And yet somehow those who have no liability whatsoever because they've been exempted from liability put these things in quantities that the EPA says are deadly levels, but they say putting it into a baby's body doesn't hurt them, it's no problem. And so you might Google Dr. Bruce Dooley, D-O-O-L-E-Y, in Jupiter, Florida, and talk to him about his NoMERC product. And also, Kevin, if you wanted to give Bruce a call and, you know, just give him our name. We've been friends for many years. In fact, a couple of weeks ago when Jenny and I were both in healing process, we went up and did a couple of vitamin C and multi-mineral vitamin drip with him. So Dr. Bruce Dooley, D-O-O-L-E-Y, in Jupiter, Florida. Our time is just about out, so we just hold the space that each one of you creates the best year yet of your eternal life. What an awesome gift to give the world. And bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. We'll look forward to hearing from you. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.